My friends, can we turn again now to God's Word, to the chapter we read, the third chapter of Malachi. And we'll read just now from verse 13. Malachi chapter 3, reading from verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have worked manfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Now, can I say, first of all, friends, that it is a great privilege to be with you this Lord's Day around the Word, and I bring you the greetings of our own denomination, the Free Church of Scotland Continuing, and of the Glasgow Partycrow Road congregation. Now, as we come to this passage of God's Word, and how good it is that wherever we are, the Word of God is the same and speaks to us with the same certainty. As we come to this passage of God's Word, we notice the context here in the writing of Malachi is that Israel has been rebelling against the Lord. And we see that very clearly in verse 7, for instance. Even from the days of your fathers, he says, you have gone away. You have not kept mine ordinances. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. There was obviously a rebellion and a turning away from the Lord before the Lord said, return. They had been rebelling against them. And the Lord, through Malachi, addresses them. He addresses the rebellion, and he calls them back to himself. I want to notice three things about these verses. And I want us to begin by noticing, first of all, that the rebels are described. The rebels are described. And then secondly, we'll notice that the rebels are observed. And thirdly, we'll notice that the rebels are assured. The rebels are described, observed, and assured. And we begin with this matter then of the description that we have of the rebels. And we see two things about the rebels here. We see, first of all, the thinking of their hearts. We see the thinking of their hearts. Now, our hearts in a great measure are hidden from one another. I don't know what thoughts there are in your heart at the moment. You don't know what thoughts there are in mine. But here in this passage, the Spirit gives a window into the heart of these people. What is being thought, what is being produced in the secret of their hearts is being described for us. Things that are normally hidden are described. I noticed just in the wall there, a window into another room. Now if that window wasn't there, what would take place in that room would be completely hidden from you. But there's a window there, and I'm able to see into these rooms. Well, it's as if there is a window here into the heart of those people. And in their heart, we see rebellion. Now, rebellion always begins in the heart. And what are they thinking in their hearts? Well, you look at verse 14. You have said, it is vain to serve God. There is, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? They were thinking in their hearts, it's vain, it's profitless to serve God. There's no profit in keeping His ordinances? They say earlier on, we have walked mournfully before God. We wore sackcloth. We went through the motions. Outwardly we observed everything that was right and proper and appropriate. They looked the part, but all the time in their hearts there was rebellion. And this is not so true. We can go through the outward motions. We can observe all that we would normally observe in regard to the things of God. We can come to the house of God. We can sit in the house of God. We can gather around the Word. Outwardly we are as the people of Malachi's day, but in our hearts there can be rebellion. This can be true for young people, of course, as they grow up and they come into teenage years with all the multitude of pressures of teenage life, being pulled this way and being pulled that way. And rebellion can begin to grow in the heart. They still come, they still take part outwardly, but they are saying in their hearts, it is vain to serve God. But this doesn't just affect young people, of course. It affects every one of us. We are all susceptible to it. Given the natural condition of fallen man, we can come to the house of God. We can be involved in these things, and yet in our hearts there's harboring rebellion against God. There is this thought, it is vain to serve God. What profit is there that we have kept His ordinances? The rebellion in Malachi's day, the rebel was saying, going to church, keeping the law of God as a rule of life, it's a waste of time, it's empty, it's profitless. Abiding by it, what a waste of time and drudgery. There are many in these days, of course, who would tell us that even for the Christian to abide by the law of God is pointless. They would tell us that we are set free in Christ, and that that freedom allows us to do whatever we wish. They would say it is vain to serve God. They would say it is vain to be worried about the law of God as a rule of life. Israel had been brought up to serve God. Israel had been brought up to keep His ordinances. And now they are saying in their hearts, these things are vain. They were rebelling against it. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe this is another image of your own experience and feelings. You hear from the pulpit about the need to seek the Lord. You hear from the pulpit here, week by week, of the need to be converted and to become a Christian. And maybe you're thinking in your hearts, this is a vain thing. This is empty and useless. That's what they were thinking. Deep down in their hearts. Are you saying as they were saying? They were saying there's no benefit in it. No benefit in serving God. No benefit in fearing God. There's no reward. There's no profit. They might say, we've given up our Sabbaths. We've gone to the place of worship. We've observed these things, and there's no profit. There's plenty of people who would agree with that today. We wouldn't have to go far, I'm sure, from this building to find people, and this is what they're thinking in their hearts. They're awfully busy today. There's 101 things to do. Come to church? Why, that's vain and empty. That's a rebellious spirit of man. That's a rebellion that lies in the heart. We in Glasgow, and I'm sure you here, will see them pouring by their hundreds into these great shopping centers. We're going by their thousands to this place of pleasure or that place of amusement. And if we look into their hearts, what are they saying? They are saying it is vain to serve God. And what profit is there in keeping His ordinances? No profit at all. But then they go further in their rebellious thoughts. We see in verse 15, "And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." See what they're thinking here. They're not just thinking, this is a vain, empty, profitless waste of time. You know, they're saying, most people who don't bother with these things, who don't bother with serving God, and who don't bother with keeping His ordinances, why? They are happier. These workers of iniquity are happier. And if we were to take a straw poll today, I'm sure this is exactly what would be reflected in it. Yea, they that tempt God are delivered. They that work wickedness are set up. What's he saying there? Those wicked people, those godless, worldly, earthly people, they're set up, they're built up, they get on, they prosper, they do well. And you know, young people face this difficulty. They see others who have no thought of the things of God, and they seem to get on. That's the very difficulty that was here in the days of Malachi. They that tempt God are even delivered. What does that mean? Well, it means simply this, that even though they defy God to His face, nothing happens. Nothing happens. They're delivered. They're delivered from punishment. They escape it. You know what these people are beginning to think? They're beginning to say, well, it's all terribly, terribly unfair. Surely the Most High must be unjust and unfair. We who have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts, we are not doing as well as these workers of iniquity. It was an atrocious insult, of course, and an outrageous blasphemy. But this is what they were thinking in their hearts. It is far better not to serve God. It's empty, it's useless, it's vain, and we are no longer prepared to do it. We hear your preaching, Malachi, but we are no longer prepared to do these things. I ask again, I don't know you and I don't know your hearts or your situation, but I ask again, this is a picture of your heart. Do you harbor these rebellious thoughts? Do you think in your heart at times it is vain to serve God? We see the thinking of their hearts, but then we hear the words of their mouth. We hear the words of their mouth. You see, the rebellion grows. And this is what happens. This is exactly what happens. These rebellious thoughts that begin in their hearts, they begin to utter them. They begin to voice what's in. Just as Adam and Eve did in the garden. Verse 13, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord." I was talking recently to somebody, and this very process, I observed it occurring in her life. She'd been brought up in a Christian home. She'd gone away to study, come into contact with all sorts of influences, gradually wandered away from church attendance. These rebellious thoughts had begun in her heart. She had begun to conclude it's vain to serve God. But she'd never said it. Never said it. It was just there, hidden away deep in her heart. But when I was talking with her, the thoughts that were in her heart, she began to put into words. She said, "Why should I go to church? It's a waste of time." Well, here we see them putting it into words, and their stout words were told in verse 13. What does that mean? Harsh words, that's what it means. Harsh words, hard words. It begins with thoughts, it becomes words, and it will gradually lead you to activity. And you know, behind it all, there's something at work. The enemy of your soul is at work, and he will add fuel to every rebellious thought. He will add fuel to it, so that the flame of rebellion will grow. He will encourage you in your thoughts of rebellion, and he will encourage you to act on them. And he will whisper, "Oh yes, becoming a Christian and seeking the Lord. This business of repentance, this business of being born again, that's vain. That's empty," you'll say. "That's a waste of time, and there's no profit in it." He'll encourage you to think that way, and to act that way, and to harden your heart when you hear the gospel. The rebels are described then. We see the thinking of their hearts. We hear the words of their mouths. But then secondly, we notice that the rebels are observed. Now maybe they were thinking before they spoke these words, when they were just thoughts in their hearts, they were thinking, "Well, nobody knows. Nobody suspects. This is really what I think. After all, they kept up the outward form. They did what was expected of them." We already alluded to that in verse 14. But the Lord says, "I know and I hear. There is no hiding place from the eye of the Lord." We can hide from men. We can camouflage our true feelings. We can disguise ourselves with all the expertise that we have gathered. But there is one from whom there is no hiding. The Most High comes to them and he recounts to them their thoughts. And the secret inclinations of their heart, he says, "I know, I see, I observe it all." This comes up again and again in Malachi. This emphasis on the Lord knowing and the Lord seeing. Indeed, it comes up constantly throughout the Bible. There are no secrets. Though we may try to justify ourselves before God, though we may try to cover up ourselves before God, he knows us as we really are. And he knows us far better than anybody else knows us. And he knows us far better than we know ourselves. He reads us perfectly, accurately, with absolute discernment. At this very moment, he sees right through each one of us. Right through us. Your words have been stout against me. the thinking of your heart has been wrong, and I know it all. In verse 16, the Lord speaks of a book of remembrance. Now the book of remembrance there is Christian activity particularly. But the Bible also speaks of a book of remembrance for all the thoughts. And all the actions and all the words and all the deeds, God takes account of everything we do and say. Maybe you think, children, when your parents aren't around, I know my children think like this. The parents aren't around. Nobody will see. Nobody will know. Darkness will conceal us. There is no darkness that will conceal us from the eye of God. He knows it all. At home I can tell my children when they don't want me to know something. They'll close the door, they'll leave the room, they'll go somewhere else. That's in all of us. Is hiding. You remember Adam and Eve when they fell into sin, when they became sinful creatures? They thought they would hide from God among the trees of the garden. Surely the trees will cover them up. But they discovered there was no covering. You know what Solomon says in the book of Proverbs? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whatever you do, don't you try to conceal and cover your sin. I'll come to the cure for sin in a moment. But here we see in verse 16 this book of remembrance. Oh yes, he knows. He takes account of it all. We quickly forget things. We quickly forget things. It's amazing how quickly it goes from our memories, even the things we do wrong. Things that bother us for a little time. But they fade away. We forget. He never forgets. Every lie we told, he knows it. Every wicked thought, he knows it. Everything that we think nobody knows, he knows it. And he'll know it tomorrow. And he'll know it the next day. And he'll know it as clearly as he knew it the moment it happened. We forget details, don't we? You maybe remember an event, but all the little nitty-gritty details, well, they go away. But he knows and remembers every single detail perfectly. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. A day of judgment is appointed. A day when we must meet with God who knows, whose recall is total and perfect. When you meet him on that day, how will you meet him? Will you meet him as your Savior? I said a moment ago, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso, says Solomon, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Will you meet him as one for whose sake you have received mercy? Will you meet him as the one who pardoned your sin, and who on the ground of his finished perfect sacrifice on Calvary is able to take away your guilt, the guilt of every sin, the guilt of the rebellious thoughts and the rebellious actions, so that they are no longer counted against you? If your sin is not pardoned, you are condemned. We think of condemnation as something that's going to happen sometime way out there in the future. You remember what the Lord says? He says, if your sin isn't pardoned, if you're not born again, if you're not a child of God, you are condemned already. Now, here and now, possible to sit in the Brooklyn RP Church, condemned. Possible to stand the same, condemned. Possible to sit under the preaching of the gospel in a state of condemnation. Will you go to the throne of judgment in a state of condemnation? Or will you go to meet Christ? As the one whose shed blood is the ground of your pardon. As your substitute, as your savior, as your advocate. Who makes intercession for you. Will you go to the judgment bar as a child of God? You know, I love the doctrine of adoption. This glorious work of God, whereby those who are enemies and far from Him are brought into His very family and become His children. Are you a child of God? Do you have a Father in heaven? Is Christ your elder brother? I remember hearing one of our ministers, he was in Glasgow, he's now in the United States. Some of you will know him probably, Reverend Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. He told a story of something that happened when he was in the United States. He was out one day with his children in the park. And he saw this other family there. And he could tell at a glance that they were a poor family with probably a multitude of problems. And there were two little boys there. And he said they watched our family. And after all, he said, what was our family? Just a very ordinary family. But they watched. And he said, I saw in their eyes this thought. I wish I belonged to that family. Do you wish that you belonged to this family? The family of the redeemed of the Lord. All that you did. That you did. The rebels are described. The rebels are observed. Thirdly and finally, the rebels are assured. And how are they assured? Well, they're assured in the very terms they use themselves. I said earlier that they spoke of profit and loss. There's no profit in serving God. It's a loss. Well, they are assured in terms of profit and loss. They are assured of profit. Verse 17. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. They are assured of profit. And that day it will be a profit. What day? Well, it's the day of chapter 4 and verse 1. The day that will burn as an oven. The day of His glorious second coming. On that day, it will be an everlasting, eternal, immeasurable profit to be at peace with God. On that day, it will be an everlasting, eternal, immeasurable profit to have your sins pardoned. On that day, it will be an everlasting, eternal profit to have a new heart and to be a child of God. Oh, what profit on that day! You say there is no profit. Ah, says the Lord, there is profit. They are assured of profit and they are assured of loss. If you are not mine, he says, you will not be mine on that day. And that will be an everlasting, eternal loss. What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? What shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Profit and loss, friends. Profit and loss. And then verse 18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. On that day the estimation will be very different. The estimation of profit and loss will be very different. The things that at the moment look so important and that look full of profit, the things of this world that pass through our fingers with the using, they look profitable today. That's what society thinks. These are the things to be had and to be grasped. You know, on that day, they will look so small and so insignificant. The things we pursued with might and main and sweated after and desired after, they seem so insignificant. And the things that looked so insignificant then, the things of the eternal world, the spiritual things, they will look so important. All important, profit and loss. They were complaining in verse 15 that the workers of wickedness were set up, that they were not dealt with. Ah, says the Lord, they will be dealt with, if not before then, on that day. There will be a great leveling on that day. I saw, says John, a great white throne, and he that sat upon it, from whose face heaven and earth fled away. Profit and loss, friends. Then it will be seen that it will be indescribably and eternally blessed to be a Christian. Well, we have two categories here. And which are you in? Which are you in? In this matter of profit and loss. Because the Lord says here, indeed it is a matter of profit and loss. And when some will be on the right hand and some on the left, it will be a matter of profit and loss. And it will be easily discerned where is the profit and where is the loss. But in Psalm 68, sir, we sang it a moment ago. We sang of God's mercy for the rebels, even for such as did rebel. And even if you are a rebel today, with rebellious thoughts, maybe rebellious words, a rebel in heart, there is no need to continue a rebel. And even if you are far from him today, there is no need to continue far from him. For all of his people were once rebels. You ask every Christian here today, were you once a rebel? I know what they'll say. They'll say, yes, I was a rebel. Maybe I wasn't outwardly a rebel. Maybe I was. But I was a rebel in my heart. I had this carnal mind that was enmity against God, that wasn't subject to the law of God. Indeed, it couldn't be subject. Everything within was wrong. Far from God, far from peace. far from profit, deep in loss. But they say, I came to the place where I repented of my rebellious thoughts and my rebellious actions. I have come to the place where I have found mercy. The place where I have been born again. You come, as David says, taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in Him is blessed. Taste and see the prophet, the eternal prophet of knowing and serving God. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. Will you be among them? Will you be His on that day? May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.